What I have handed out to you is the Catholic Radio Basics, and this was something that we just kind of sat down in our organization, and we have a process we have with our different signals. Every time we do this process all over again. So every time we add a radio station, we've done the same thing. But this process has worked very well for us. So, and you might even note, well, I'm past certain points, and I've talked to some people who are like, well, I didn't do that. Well, go back and try it. Because the process that, and you'll see at some of the presentations here at WTN's presentation on parish pledge talks, excellent. Do it, do it, do it. I'll say it, do it again. So a lot of these things are just really great tools, a process that really will set for you a solid foundation to build upon and to just keep moving forward. Don't try to do everything at once, but build, you know, one step at a time, claw up that hill one step at a time, but be consistent and keep moving forward. So the first part, obviously, you have to meet with your bishop to get permission to move forward. I know some people have run into some difficulties with bishops. There are different doors to go through. So if you have a bishop who doesn't like you, we'll find a priest who does and work your way up. A really important door that you want to keep open is the bishop's secretary. I know there's a desire to go directly to the bishop, but I can tell you this. I don't even go directly to the bishop. I don't even try. I go to the bishop's secretary. If she likes me, the bishop will like me. And if the bishop doesn't like me and she likes me, it's still fine. So the secretary of the bishop is key. Keep her happy. Be very respectful of her. Build a great relationship. If the secretary isn't a good route, try the communications director. Again, these are relationships, key relationships that you can build up as you go forward. The second piece, and this is, everybody does it their own way, but for us, this has worked very well. Do we have a process? So we have a business plan. And our business plan, our first meeting with the bishop, is we lay before him our business plan. Does he read it? Absolutely not. Does he give it to his financial director or his business manager? Many times he does. And so what it does, and this is the objection we've heard from bishops, you come in, you're going to do something new, and if you're not going to last, it's just going to make more work for him to clean it up afterwards. So you want to come in with saying, I'm going to last, and here is why. Now you're thinking, where do I get a business plan? If you, the back page, if you email me, steve@yourcatholicradiostation.com, I will send you a basic business plan that you can fill your own information into and just start. Because what does a business plan look like? Just start with that. You put your mission on there, all that kind of things, and you can lay it before the bishop and show him, I have a plan. In part of that business plan, you have a programming plan, which is going to be EWTN from the start. Then you're going to have a fundraising plan, talking about you're doing a bishop reception, some parish pledge talks, and then marketing. And that's all part of your business plan. Again, you don't have to say, well, this is exactly what I'm going to do. I'm never going to change this. As a board, we revisit. Our annual meeting is revisiting the business plan piece by piece by piece. What do we want to change? What are we going to do this year? That's what our annual meeting is. We do an annual meeting, a retreat and meeting going through the business plan. That's our working document. And yes, it has changed 10 times over the last 10 years that I've been here. So then the second step after meeting with the bishop and he says, oh, I don't have to give you any money. Right. I don't have to do anything except for give you my approval. Right. Okay. So the next step is, and some bishops are open to this and some aren't. So you have to just try it and don't ever compare bishops. It's just like people. Like you have one personality here, you can't compare them because they don't have the same thing. So in some areas we've gone and we said, Bishop, if you could put together a reception of your 20 closest friends, that we can come in and tell them about Catholic Radio. And we'll give them, and this is why I gave this to you, this brochure with a giving envelope inside. And by the way, when our brochures go out, they always have a giving envelope inside. And I tell you what, it at least pays for the mailing every time to send out these brochures. And tell them, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we want to do. We need your support. And what that oftentimes does, that's a setup for the parish pledge talks. With, if you don't know already about, you'll find out when Jack visits with you. But to give challenge matching dollars, okay? And so you do those parish pledge talks. Now, we have some bishops who are like, I'm not comfortable with that. That's no problem. We can either find somebody else in town who's willing to host an event, or if you can't get the reception, then you just forego it. There's a couple places where we just had to skip the reception and go directly to parish pledge talks. Don't sweat it. Do what you can, and if the process, there's a piece in the process that you have skipped, That's fine. Just skip over it. But it really works extremely well when the bishop will invite it. And we had one bishop who did three of them, because the first one he wasn't happy with, says, well, let's do another one. We did three, and we actually almost raised the whole amount to just to put the station on the air with those. But we didn't stop. We went ahead and did the parish pledge talks, and here's why. Parish pledge talks are the best marketing tool that we have found. They are a very good fundraising tool, but the best marketing tool. So as an example, when we started doing parish pledge talks, we had about 800 people in our database, donor database, and we went out and did parish pledge talks, and when after one parish pledge talk, we were at 2,500 people in our database. Now you're thinking, well, what do you do with that? This is a warm market now. You've got somebody who's donated to your organization. You now keep in contact with those people by doing a quarterly newsletter, a regular, if you get emails, you can do a regular email blast with them, and you keep building that. We now, after having done this numerous times, we're almost at 10,000 people in our database, and it just, I can guarantee with us, and we're in a small area, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, one station, Wisconsin. We cover maybe a total of about 1.3 million people with 15 radio stations, all right? So we got a lot of stations, but not a lot of people. But the what was my point? Just went away.
Building the database.
Thank you. Building the database. Everyone, we go in and do a parish pledge talk in a new station area, I can guarantee we could get 2,000 to 3,000 new names in the database. And that is a relationship. Contact information is a relationship, and you don't let that drop. You just keep building that, and you keep growing up on that, because they all have friends, and blah, 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 blah. All right, so that's part of the process. Also, one of the first things we do when we come into an area is we try to meet people. So we'll go to conferences, and you get to know the people who are in the pro-life groups, the KC groups, any group affiliated with the parish, and you come in and you tell them about Catholic radio, you offer them free announcements on your radio station, and they're not going to get back to you, so you pursue them. So you call them and say, or you check their website, I see you got an event coming up in 3 months, we really would like to promote that for you, how do we do that? And you build that relationship, so then they start sending their information to you, but they start talking to you about organizations. They also, at least for us, they start inviting you to their meetings. Could you come to our meeting and tell the rest of our membership about Real Presence Radio? Absolutely, we'll do that. And you go there and you give them a brochure, and you give them a list of your stations on a business card, you give them a card with a prayer on the back to pray for you, you give them pens, you give them magnets, whatever you got. You give them that stuff that's got your information on it for your station, so they'll listen and tell their friends. Also, when you're on the air, and we do this right away, I have one of my staff members calls all the parishes in the area regularly, so once a month, this is when we first get started, and checks their bulletins. Now, you can check their bulletin and put the announcement on the air. That's one step, that's great, and that's wonderful, but they don't know that you're doing it. So, he checks the bulletin, then he calls them and says, I see you have a parish fall bazaar coming up in October. We would love to announce that on Real Presence Radio. Who do I talk to about that? Oh my gosh, you have a best friend in the secretary, in the coordinator, and you just keep going back until they finally, at a certain point, usually after about a year, maybe 2 years, they start thinking about you and they send it to you already. But they don't know about us. That's the biggest problem, right, that we find in Catholic radio. People don't know about it. We've been on the air for 15 years in North Dakota, and there's so many people, oh, hey, I just found your station on the air. Are you kidding me? I mean, I've got billboards across the state. What do you want me to do?
Can I add one thing?
Yes, go for it.
What Steve was just saying about calling the parishes, one thing that we also do is we make sure to get the name of the person who does the bulletin, and then we've built a database, and every week I send out a highlight on some of the programming coming up for the week ahead. So in most of the bulletins in the diocese now, they have a present spot, and they're highlighting something important.
So again, we're just teaching them that we're there for them. Your Catholic radio is not there for you. It's for everybody else, and so people see it as a tool for their work. Then the next step we do is we go in and we visit with the priests, okay? At the parish level, it's the priest. He's the doorkeeper. So once you've got their announcements on the air, you sit down with the deaneries. They all have deanery meetings, and I've never had a deanery meeting where they didn't welcome us. There was a couple of priests in that deanery meeting who didn't like us, but the majority, or at least somebody there, liked us. And we go there, and we show a 7-minute video, and we give a presentation on what Real Presence Radio is here to do for them. Focus, focus. Bishop, or Father, your message on Sunday, your homily is what, 7 to 10 minutes long? I want to take that message and I want to keep it going all week long. The message of evangelization, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am here to get your message out. The events at your parish, I want your parishes full. I want your, here's what's going to happen. We know this statistically from studies that actually people who become, and it makes logical sense, people who become excited about their faith become more involved in the church and become more supportive of the church. The first question they're going to say is, are you going to take away from my collection? No. And I've actually gotten letters that I can share with them from our the development director for the diocese saying, we've seen giving go up since Real Presence Radio has come into our area. So we're here to increase your contributions, not lessen. And our message is this. And we do this on our station all the time. I was talking about it this morning with a group. But when we go out, I tell them, give to your diocese. Give to your parish. Give to your pro-life groups. Give to your campus evangelization groups. And give to Real Presence Radio. But do not, please, please do not pull from the diocese, from your parish. I need you to give more. And here's what we know. I mean, we in our own lives, right? How many of us really give the tithe, 10%? We're all trying. We're all trying to get there. But everybody can do better. So we're saying, well, you're just taking a piece of the pie. No, I want to increase the pie. Make the pie bigger. Don't take a piece of somebody else's pie. Make it bigger. Do you have a question over here? Saw a hand go up.
You were talking about the database of people. How often would you recommend sending out like the e-blast? Like every day, every week?
You have to, you know, you can talk to different people. We had a marketing group come in and kind of help us with that. And we started doing Facebook posts. And we do one a week. And at the beginning of the week, because we do some live programming, and so we promote that once a week on a Monday morning. During when we do what we call live drives, it's a pledge drive, we'll do a couple a day to keep it up. But you got to be careful, right? There's a balance there. If you give too many, they're going to disconnect. If you don't give enough, they're not going to remember you. It's kind of Facebook thing. So even for like Facebook, we do 6 posts a day. We have them scheduled out. That's the max we do. And then, you know, and then we do a once a week constant contact, which is part of Donor Perfect. Yes, it goes out at 7 a.m. on Monday morning. Here's what we're thinking. People get into their office on Monday morning, and the first thing they do is they sit down and see which emails, what came in over the weekend. Okay, well, they get into the office at 8 o'clock, right? So if it goes out at 7 o'clock, we might be close to the top of their list. And you have to make it so there's something compelling. So the first thing on our thing is a testimony. Okay, here's the thing one thing that I may have learned, or I'm still trying to learn. Giving as a rational level is good. But if you get people to give on an emotional level, it's going to be better, all right? Giving has to be an emotional response because people are more apt to give more. So those testimonials are key, absolute key. People will come to banquets, our banquets that we do, and they have a set number in their head, but if you can reach them deeper in their heart, it's going to go up. So those are the things you want to kind of focus on, get that connect. And we also, a lot of the things, our posts that we send out are not all about us. We'll try to do what we call unconnected, what's the word? Anyway, it's different material. So we'll ask a local priest to write an article on his favorite topic, whatever, eating. So we have one of our newsletters going out in a week, and it's on dining. And it's just a local priest writing an article. Because it's something interesting to talk about, something interesting to read, people will be drawn in. But they know it's from Real Presence Radio. So just all those little pieces to cross the spectrum. Yes?
What do you do about content, though? If your favorite priest, very popular, wants to talk about, fries, fresh fries, and you read it and you go, what?
Well, we control the content. So, and we pick who. So, I mean, I contact priests in advance to say, or a lot of times, as you'll notice now, a lot of parish priests will actually put their homilies online on their website. So you can go listen to their homily and say, I loved this homily that you gave. Can we use it? So we'll transcribe it into a written article and then put it on the air. But we edit everything before it goes on the air. On the air. Also that too, but in our newsletters as well. So we have, you know, some people are very good at writing, other people are not. So you kind of got to pick and choose between that. But we only do four newsletters a year. So again, that's not also, we're not inundating them with things. Also, when we send out an envelope, I didn't bring one. It's bright yellow. A little more expensive. Everything we mail out, and I learned it from one of these conferences, bright yellow. Everybody else uses white. Bright yellow. You can see it. It stands out. People go, what in the heck? Oh, it's Real Presence Radio again. But they open it up. We really get great response that way. So, and I did. I learned that at one of these conferences. I stole it from, I think it was Guadalupe Radio or something. Yes. From our database? That's a good question. We've had that conversation a few times. We don't until they haven't given for 5 years. Here's the thing, and here's what I know. When I study our database, so the question was, do we ever purge anybody from our database? So after somebody hasn't given for 5 years, then we drop them out of the database. And at the end of the day, what does it cost to do a mass mailing? 11 cents per piece? So if they stop giving to you, maybe they need to start giving to you again, but we don't want to drop them too quickly. And I do notice in our database, and we study it every year. We do a moves management meeting every year, which is taking your top donors and seeing how you can deepen that connection with them. And so we look at our database very regularly. And well, you'll notice somebody might give in 2013. They might give you $20,000 as an example in 2013, and in 2014 nothing, and then 2015. You know, so we come in, well, what do? Well, maybe they forgot about us. So we give them a call, and they give $2,000 or $3,000, right? And then 2016, maybe they'll give $5,000. And then they'll take a break in 2017. So you just kind of, people don't give to the same organization every year, especially the bigger donors. They'll give you a $5,000 last year because something happened in their life. And the next year, well, they're not going to give you anything. So I wouldn't drop them too quickly. I would keep sending them information. And we did have about, 7 years ago, I had my development director call everybody who hadn't given for 5 years and called them and said, so we want to thank you for your donation that you gave us in blah, blah, blah. Your was very generous. Is there anything we can pray for you? And that's all we said. Is there anything? And I would say half of them came back as active members again. We didn't say, could you donate to us? Is there anything we can pray for? And we did that. So that's those little pieces are there. And actually, when you do your asks, this is something. Always ask people, we need you really to pray for this mission. That's the first thing you need to ask for. Pray. And this was one of the things that my development director came up. We actually wrote a prayer that we put on a card and put all our stations on the other side. Because a lot of people say, well, I don't have any money to give. Will you pray for us? Here's the thing, if people are praying for you, they're eventually going to give you something, even $10, $20. It doesn't matter because they're thinking about you. And so it's just that relationship there. And then the other thing we do is we put these, I have a picture of it here, but so in our coverage area, we have about 120 parish representatives. We have what we call parish representatives. We go into each parish. When we do these parish pledge talks, we stand at the door. And we hand them a brochure, and they put their pledge card in the box. And there are some people who just like stop and want to talk about Catholic Radio. Those are your key people. And you say to them, would you be willing to be a parish representative for us? What does that entail? We're going to put a stand in the front of your parish. We need a new church. We need to put brochures in there and magnets in there. And we need you to keep those in there regularly. And then every quarter, we're going to send you an announcement to have your parish secretary put in the bulletin for us. Can you take care of that? Oh, absolutely. So then we build that. And then the next year, we have them start getting us scheduled to come talk to KC groups, blah, blah, blah. So we have 120 parish representatives across our area that do that regularly for us. They're not paid employees. They're volunteers. But so we have 7 full-time employees. That's what I have. And then everything else is volunteer in the mix of that. So that has been huge for us as well. And then the other piece, every one of four development people now, they go around with a handheld recorder. Handheld recorder. All the time. And if somebody says, you know, I love Catholic Radio, wonder what happened is, hold that moment. Write this down. Can you record that for us? And so I have a production team of one. So I have one production person, and those recordings go from that card to that person, and his goal is within 45 days to get that up on the air. It runs for 45 days and then comes down. We always have brand new testimonials, constantly, 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 because of the recordings from priests, from laity, from bishops. It's crazy, and people love to hear themselves on the air, so they're going to say, hey, did you hear me on Real Presence? What? Catholic Radio. I never heard of Catholic Radio. It's huge. Okay, so people love to hear themselves. We also. We go into the schools and we record the kids praying a prayer. Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be, and put it on the air, and we announce it at the front. This is Mrs. Larson from Trinity School in Bismarck, North Dakota, and this is her third grade class praying the Our Father. Our Father, they pray the air off, and that runs for 30 days. We take it down. Again, the other thing, keeping things fresh. If you run it too long, people, and they've done it, call in, can you take that off the air? I'm sick and tired of hearing that spot. So am I. Okay, so 30 days, 30 to 45 days is the max that we let any spot run. Even if it's an underwriter, we try to refresh it a little bit. Some of them, they're like, we don't want to change our spot, so we'll let it go for maybe 3 months. Then we'll just change it just a little bit to freshen it up to keep it new. So, yeah, go ahead, two questions. I'll go here first, and I'll come back there.
You mentioned the bright yellow paper.
It's an envelope, number 10 envelope. The number 10 envelope. Yeah, because it stands out from everything else. Because everybody uses a white one, right?
Our brand new release, and she would, our heads can change colors on her, you know, like our brand colors, you know.
Oh, sure.
So I see what you're saying.
Yeah, but somebody had mentioned using a zebra one. We just tried to find something that would stand out but wasn't extremely expensive. I didn't bring it, no. It's just a bright yellow number 10 envelope, so with our return address on it.
And they also say a window envelope is open more often than a regular envelope.
Sure. A window envelope, she said, is open more often.
It's open more often than a regular envelope.
You had a question?
Releases for using these people who you haven't signed anything?
We don't. No, we haven't had to run into it. We're not really using their, you know, their full names. So like the teacher, I mean, well, that's an adult. But if there was a youth or something like that, we haven't run into a necessity for that. They know that they're being recorded for that purpose. So I guess I don't know. I haven't had a problem for 10 years, so. Yeah.
You discussed trying to get the word out as much as possible, and have there been, what's your, procedure if a pastor will say, you're welcome to come to prepare a presentation, but don't ask. Do you make the presentation without?
We do. Actually, we call that a parish pledge talk, or sorry, a parish talk instead of a parish pledge talk. There's like, my development person is like, you need to make the clarification. There are some priests who will say, no pledge cards in the pew, no ask, but you can come and talk about Real Presence Radio. Okay, and we will do that. You won't get much from it, money-wise, and you won't get probably very many names either, because people won't remember you going out the door. If somebody gives you $25 in the pew, they're going to go out and check what you sound like on the station. And here's the thing, this is a great sell, and I tell the priest, let me tell you though, when we come into a parish pledge talk, the average gift is $30 to $50. We're not talking big dollars here, I'm not pulling much from your parish. But if 80%, which is the number for us anyway, 80% of your parishioners give $30 to $50, I'm gonna walk away with, if you're, and this has worked every time for us, if their collection on a weekend is $20,000, I'll walk away with $30,000 from that parish. 1.5 times, and it works every time, except you'll see a mix in a more metropolitan area. About 60% of the parishioners will get involved. In a rural area, 80 to even 100% will get involved. Why? Because in the metropolitan area, they have everything available to them. But the people in the rural areas, they're like, we never get thought of. You're never doing anything for us, and this is ours. So there's a nuance that don't, you know, work in there, But that really works when I tell the priest, it's going to be like a $30 to $50 gift, Father. Oh, well, that's nothing. That's not a big deal. So that opens the door for us.
Is that pledge drive just one time?
We do our parish pledge talks just once. And then we go back in a couple years and do a parish talk, just informational talk to keep it going. We haven't gone back and done it again. We do it just as an initial part. So, but there's more steps in here, so that's the fundraising part, but just take this and go through it. This is our process, and then I did do some underwriting and weathers on the back. We're just sharing with you what we're doing. So, what works for you is great, and if it doesn't, don't do it. I'm just a simple guy, so it's like, we're going to do this, and then we're going to do it all over again.